to discuss with you today a contemporary halachic issue and see if we can connect it to Parshas Toldos. And what's interesting to me about this halachic topic, it's a gigantic sugya, is in a sense the lumdus. There's like one lumdus shaila, and everything more or less fits into that perspective. So I'm more interested in the abstract concept than I am in the sort of halacha lemaisa aspect. What we're talking about is adding to a body, a physical body, either a limb from another human being, and once that limb is transplanted into the recipient's body, it now becomes alive and functions, or alternatively, if we can find a prosthetic limb, something that's mechanical, it's not part of a living being, and we could implant it into a human body and how it functions. And the issue now, with many, many repercussions in halacha, is whether or not, once transplanted into the live body, does it now take on the status of the live body? Just to give you one little taste of what we're talking about, let's say a limb of a body was cut off and we want to reattach it. It still has the potential of functioning as a live limb, as an aver. The problem is that the recipient, in this case, is a kohen. And aver shomes, or aver mes, is mitame. On the one hand, we have a tremendous urgency in attaching this limb to the body of the kohen. But on the other hand, the Torah says that we're not allowed to be mitame the kohen. We'll see at the end of the day, no matter what, it's mutter because of pikuach nefesh. But that's a different story. Take, for example, a situation where you have a mechanical utensil, or call it an instrument, that will add something to the function of the human organism, and so we implanted it into a chole, someone who needs that organ, and now the person dies. Here's the opposite question. If we view that mechanical aver as part of the body of the person who never died, then the entire body is asur banah. We're not allowed to benefit from a dead body. Would we be allowed, therefore, to take the mechanical organ out of the dead body and implant it into a live body? Wait, Joe?
Well, you're taking the organ already from somebody else because of the kuach nefesh or whatever. Doesn't that fall away in that situation? The question of anaf and mes?
Again, if it's pikuach nefesh, everything's allowed.
Okay.
But what happens if it's a monetary issue? Some of these instruments are very, very expensive. And especially 20 years ago, when these tshuvas were written, it was a very expensive instrument. We can create a new one and shell out a lot of money. We'd rather take the old one, because no offense to the dead, but he or she doesn't need it anymore. Are we allowed to remove it in order to benefit from it? Now, whether or not a mechanical instrument can be considered part of the body of the recipient will have tremendous repercussions as far as hearing aids or other kinds of sophisticated implants which allow a deaf person to hear. Is he hearing through the instrument, or his body is capable of hearing? I'll give you an example. We have something which is called a kotzev lev in modern Hebrew. And what that is, it's something that allows the heart to function. We have another machshir which is called a defibrillator, which allows the shock of an electric shock, if a person has heart failure, to start up the heart again. We have even today a possibility of adding a mechanical eye, which allows the blind person to see certain shadows. If we want to know whether or not these Avarim, whether they're from a human being who is the donor, or mechanical Avarim, become part of the human body, does Halacha see that as if it's now integrated into the recipient's body? Look through Shas, and you tell me, I'm just being dramatic about it, where you found anywhere in Shas that addresses this. This becomes another example of the challenge of contemporary halacha. New techniques that were never even dreamt of, can we find sources in the Torah itself? So let me mention to you a few of the sugyas that Amir Tzashem we want to study. The first is a sugyan arla. I have a tree that's producing fruit. That fruit is arla. It's within the first 3 years. I cut off a branch and I take the old branch, I'm sorry, I take the new branch and I graft it into an old shasil, an old tree. That old tree, the recipient, is no longer producing arla. But what do I see it? Do I see this branch as a separate independent entity and it belongs to a yalda, which means it's still arla, it's a young sapling? Or do I say no? Now it's integrated into the recipient and therefore it has the status of yeshana, of an old tree. That's one sugya. Sugya number two. The Gemara wants to know, and we'll go through this inside, Bli Neder, what's the status of the body of the Ben Hashunamis? You may remember that the Shunamis was very hospitable and kind to Elisha. And Elisha pulled off a miracle, and this childless woman had a child. The child dies. Elisha miraculously revives the child from the dead. What's the status of the child's body? A second ago, as a dead corpse, it was metameh. Now it became alive. Do we consider that since it was metameh yesterday, or 5 minutes ago, the tumah is there? Or do we say no? The tumah was there in one state when it was a dead body. Now it's a live body. And even though there was no mikveh, there was no tara, it's not the same entity. And as a live body, it's not metame. Third sugya. They shechted a tarnagolas. This happened about 500 years ago. And they now, after the shechita, they look into the Evarim Pnimim. They do a thorough check to make sure there's no trefa. Well, one of the trefas is a case where the heart is not functioning properly. They check this tarnagolas, and guess what? There's no heart. Now, if a non-functioning heart is a trefa, how much more so an animal without a heart is a trefa? But how in tarnation is this chicken, which was now shechted, capable of living without a heart? Says the Chacham Tzvi, there's some other organ in the body of this chicken that has taken over the function of the heart. I don't know if there's any scientific basis for this. You can Google this. I don't know. But says the Chacham Tzvi, there's no heart. But there's another Aver that's functioning as a heart. It's not a trefa. Why? Because heart, a lave, is not a particular tsura, but rather it's a function. And since there must be some other aver that's functioning as a lave, replacing the lave from the birth of this tarnagolas, it's not a mechuser aver. It's not missing an aver. Fast forward by, let's say, 150 years, and you get to Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, the crazy uplacy. He says, what are you talking about? There's another aver that's functioning as a lave? We never heard of such a thing. It can't be. The animal's a trefa, unless we can possibly assume that there was a lave and somehow we lost it. He says a cat came and ate the lave. But if we have ample testimony that nothing was lost, no aver was missing, it's a trefa. The love this year, the conceptual issue, is whether or not a functioning replacement aver can be considered al pi din because it functions in that way as an aver of that body, and therefore it's not a trefa. Again, I apologize, my voice just went on me. If anybody finds it, please return it.
This last situation with the chicken, there's nothing within the body that he believes can substitute for the heart. He's not. Can we take it forward to our situation with regards to where we know we're putting something in that we know will substitute for? It's not necessarily the same situation, is it?
Well, no. Basically, the crazy placey operates on two different levels. He says, Mimonifsha. There's no lave. You want to say that there's another aver that functions as a lave? Where is that aver? We're looking for a lave. We don't find it. You want to tell me you lost the lave? Okay, fine. Otherwise, how is the chicken alive? So let's begin with Arla. If you have page 1, we're looking at a Gemara at the end of Masechta Sota. Amar Rabbi Avo, Yalda, so it's a young tree, Shesimcha Bizikena. Rashi explains he cuts off a branch. Where I come from now, these days they call it a branch. Okay. I have this Brooklynese accent. Anyway, they cut off a branch and they attach it through what's called our cover to an older tree. Says Rabbi Avo, but la yalda bizkena, the ein ba din arla. So the poskim want to say the following, that hashtalat eiver, which means transplanting a limb, is a change in identity. It's a transformation of sorts. That which was a yalda now becomes integrated into the zakena. It sheds its old status or identity as a yalda. It now becomes part of the goof of the zakena and is no oral. Fine. This, by the way, I don't know, did I ever discuss with you surrogate motherhood? No? Anyway, this Gemara is also very relevant to another modern technological development, and it could be that this would prove that the surrogate mother is considered the mother of the child. Think about that. Now, on the same page, page one, there's a long tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi lived almost five centuries ago. And he comes under attack by the Crazy Uplacy, which is on page two. Of Rabbi Yonis and Ivishitz. Says the Chacham Tzvi, there's no question in our minds that this Tarnagolas at one point had a lathe. Why? Because Lo Yitzuyer, in his language, Nivra Chaser lathe. You can't have a functioning organism without a heart. Hu minanimna. Minanimna means kenet zayin. Kol chius v'koach haguf toli bo. The life force depends upon the heart. Lo yitochen bal chayim zulaso. Impossible. That there's a living organism without a heart. Therefore, afilu imbo edim ve'idu, they testify, they were there when they opened up the chicken, v'lo nimtzas bo lev, there was no cat, nothing got lost. He says, This can't be. So what's going on here? There's a Tarnagolas. It was a living creature. It has no lathe. The Adam testified there was no lathe. We know, says the Chacham Tzvi, that it's just impossible. You can't have a living organism without a heart. So the Chacham Tzvi doesn't know what to do with this. And we'll see in just a moment why he eats the Tarnagolas. I'm not sure if he himself ate it. Comes along the Crazy Uplacy and he says the following. Bo Eidim She'en Tarnagolas Lev Vadai Lo Nucha Lahatil Sufik Ve'idusam. You're telling me the reality is that there must have been a lev. How can we reconcile that with the witnesses? It can't be that the witnesses are lying. He says, we have to trust the witnesses. There's no lev. Yesh lesar es atarnagoles. We have to assume the tarnagol is the trefa. So far, there's a very lumdishes sugya here, machlokes between the Chacham Tzvi and the crazy. What do we do when Edim, that are perfectly reliable, as far as we know, contradict reality? So the Chacham Tzvi says that we have to throw out the Edim. The Edim are lying. The crazy says, no, the Edim are not lying. There's no lev. The nafkamina is going to be whether you can eat the tarnagolas. But the next point in the crazy is the crucial one. He says, what do you mean? You're telling me I believe the witnesses, there's no lev, and you're telling me that reality rejects that. There's no possibility. Yitachem? He says the answer is Nita liba shel hatarnagolas el sheyesh eivar acher hamachlif umevali es tafkido shel alev. There must be, because we have to reconcile the avis with reality, another limb in the body, another organ that's functioning as a live. He says the following: Ein anu samim al live lashgiach bo shehu shahaya mishamish b'makom al live. We did not pay attention. Maybe we don't have the instruments to determine that in fact there is such an organ that replaces the lev. In Cain, he says, if there's another organ that's functioning as a lev, ein hava mina lahatir es atarnagolas. The Aiden tell me there's no lev. You're asking me how to figure that out. We don't know it, but there's another organ that's functioning as a lev. And he says that that functioning organ is not a lev. The tarnagol is a trefa because it's mechusar ever a lev. Comes along the Chazon Ish, which you'll see on page 2, and I'm just highlighting his main point. Divrei aplesi tmuim miot. I can't accept the plesi. Divadai. Basar zeh, this organ, hametafked tafked alev umechayes balchay, who al pi emes alev. He says even though nishtansa tsurasa, the tsura chitzonis is absolutely different. He says lo matzinu shalev nitraf b'shinui toar. The fact that it doesn't look like a lathe is irrelevant. All that's relevant is that it functions as a lathe. Therefore, this tarnagol has a lathe. Again, the Chacham Tzvi says you can eat the tarnagolas because it has a lathe. Forget about the Edim, they're lying. The Chazon Ish says they're not lying. There's no lathe. But since there's another organ that functions as a lathe, the tarnagolas is not considered mechusar lathe. You can eat the tarnagolas gizuntehe. In other words, it's not the tsura that determines the shame lathe, it's the tafkid, it's the function. If there's an organ in the body that functions as a lathe, it is a lathe. And this breakthrough of the Chazon Ish to justify the psak of the Chacham Tzvi, but for a different reason, is going to have a tremendous breakthrough impact on all modern shaylos about hashtala, about transplants. If the transplant functions in the recipient's body as a replacement for an aver, then it has the same status as a natural aver. It's chelik built in nifrad migufo shalom mushtal. Mushtal is the recipient. Whoa. Just to summarize, what we see here is that there's a machlokas between the Kresi and the Chazon Ish. The Kresi understood, a lev is a lev. Don't tell me, function a hair, function a hin. I want to see the lev. There ain't no lev. How do I know there's no lev? The Adam said there's a lev. You want to know how the animal could function as a living organism? I'll give you an answer. But there's no lev. It's treif. Chazon Ish says no. As long as there's something in the body of the animal that's functioning as a lev, that's considered a lev. Now again, you might argue, maybe the Chazon Ish is only talking about something that's indignant to the animal, but not something that comes from the outside. The poskim say it makes no difference. Even if it's coming from the outside, function takes precedence to form. And in function, it's part of the new organism. So now we get to the tshuva of Rabbi Isser Yehuda Unterman on page 3. Shevet mi Yehuda, he's the chief rabbi at the time of the establishment of the state of Israel, and he's arguing against the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Oldenburg. The Tzitz Eliezer took the following position. If an aver of a kohen was cut off, we cannot reattach that aver to the body of the kohen, because an aver shemes is metame. Again, unless it's pikuach nefesh. Says Rav Issa Yehuda Unterman, I'll prove to you that that's not true. You cut out a piece of flesh or an organ from a dead body, you reattach it to a live body, it's not metame. How do I know this? I know this from the case of the Shunamis, more accurately, the Ben HaShunamis. The Gemara in Masechta Nida, which is on page 2, asks in the middle of the page, Daf Ayin Amud Beis, asks the following question. Ben HaShunamis, Mao Sheyetame. In other words, after Elisha revives the body of the Ben HaShunamis, what's the status? Is he Tomei or is he not? Amar Lohem, the Gemara responds, Meis Metame, Vein Chai Metame. Says Rav Unterman, what that means is that although the body is mess, and as long as it's mess, it's metame, but once you revive that dead body, litchia, then the tomb is paka. Unbelievable. Yeah, you're talking about a body that one minute it's metame, the next minute it's not metame. Why? Because the tumor is a result of the fact that it's a mess. Now, it's no longer a mess. If it's no longer a mess, then it's not metame. In other words, the Torah only said that a mess is metame, but not a chai. Ukshin is chaver maguf, a chai. Hachius mispashetes, all of. The blood is flowing through the body, and therefore the tumah completely dissipates. How could the Tzitz Eliezer therefore say that you can't reattach an Eiver Shemes to the body of a Kohen because it's Metami. It's not Metami. It was Metami as a mess, but not now, because now it's part of a Chai. The Tzitz Eliezer writes another tshuva, and he repeats the same svara as the Shevet Yud, as Rav Unterman, completely oblivious to his first tshuva and to the tshuva of the Shevet Yehuda. So at the end of the day, everybody seems to agree that when you take an Avram mess and you transplant it into a live body, it's alive. It's a new entity. And the tumah is completely gone. Now again, our discussion up until this point is about flesh and blood. You transplanted an aver. Does it become integrated into the donor's body as a live part of that body? But what about a mechanical aver? And we take this mechanical aver, it's made of whatever it's made of, if it's made of plastic, if it's made of iron, whatever it's made of. So now we have a tshuva on page 5 of the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak, Yitzchak Weiss. He was the chief rabbi in England, and then he became the head of the Badatz, the Eidei Haredes, in Yerushalayim. And he wants to know, what's the status of an instrument of this sort that was implanted into the body of a live person and then that person died? Are we allowed to be bent to benefit from that kotzev lev and remove it from the body of the dead? And he paskins, it's asur. Why? Asur lehenos migufo shomes. And this generates a whole, how should I say, literature against Rav Weiss. The one who took this on, the leader of the pack, was Rav Moshe Feinstein. And this you'll see on page 5. Rav Moshe paskins that you're allowed to take that kotzev lev, that instrument that helps the heart function, from the body of the dead. And he says, even if in doing so, there's some limited nivul ames, it's not so pretty. And the one, who agrees to him is Rav Ovadia Yosef, who quotes not only Rav Moshe, but also Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he says the following, that this machshir, we call it a kotzev lev, is not similar to other things that become part of a human body. Other things that become part of a human body are attached in a profound way. He calls it hiduk v'chibur. And if you attach a foreign body to a body in a very permanent way, then it becomes part of the body. So for example, he speaks about, I think it's called hair transplants, where you can actually attach hair to the scalp of a person. Is that so? I don't know. Anyway, he says in that case, it's mehudak u'mechubar, and it's considered his hair. He says the same thing will apply to a false tooth. You take a tooth and you attach it to the mouth of the recipient in a very permanent way. We're not talking about dentures, you know, that go in and out. Kol ka'ele nechshavim kechelek migufo shel adam. Masha'en kein kotzev lev shu machshir chashmali. We're talking about an electric box. Hapoel al yidei solala, and it's activated by a battery. Li achar shechadol lios shimushi hu guf zar legamre. Now Rav Avadia opens up a window here in his language that it could be that while it is functioning, it might be considered in some sense part of the body. But that's only because it's functioning. Once it ceases to function, it's not part of the goof at all. And there's no Isra not to remove this kotzev lev from the body of the deceased. And he says, I'm going to paskin based on the Shlosha Roim, the three shepherds. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and the final psak, not the original psak, of Rav Oldenburg, of the Tzitz Eliezer, against the Minchas Yitzchak. Now, there's something, which I'm probably not pronouncing it right, so help me out, Rav Osai, called a defibrillator. Did I pronounce that right? Okay. Now this defibrillator, what?
Yes.
Defibrillator. This functions to shoot up the heart with an electric kind of shock when a person is suffering from what's it called when the heart stops pumping? In Hebrew it's called a dome lid. He says the following, that Rav Yashiv came to the conclusion that once this defibrillator is added to the body of the recipient, hafach lios ke'ever me'varav. So the good news is that Rav Yashiv sees a foreign body, once it's introduced into the recipient's body, as part of the recipient's body. That's great news. And that means that in all the other issues that we discussed, like the Chazanish about the lave, and we discussed about the Ben Ashunamis, all this means that there's no tumor. Why? Because it becomes part. And he's going even a step further, applying that logic to a mechanical instrument. The bad news is that he says, therefore, since it became part of the Eiver Meivarov, and as a tafkid to give life to the recipient at a moment of danger, therefore you're not allowed to take it out of the dead body. Now the one who took this up as a challenge is Rav Osher Zelig Weiss, the Minchas Osher. And he says that it may be true, he doesn't even mention Rav Yashiv, he calls him Echad Me'agdolim, that at some point it becomes part of the body, but that's only on a temporary basis. It can be bought to Legufo as long as it's functioning. If it was a natural aver, then it may be on a permanent basis it becomes part of the recipient. But machshir malachuti, a mechanical object, li'olam eino nase aver ke'aver aguf, it may be functioning on a temporary basis on behalf of the guf to save it, but it's not in any sense a replacement for another aver. Again, it's going to shoot these electrical shocks to the heart. The machshir zeh eino omed bimkom echad me'evrei aguf. Again, I think he's implying the svar of the Chazon Ish, that if the chicken doesn't have a heart, there's some other part of the body that's functioning as a heart, and therefore it's not a nut to live, it's not a trefah. But here he says, this machshir, which is functioning not as one of the organs of the body, it's not doing anything that any other organ in the body would do, therefore, kevan she'eino omed bimkom echad me'evrei haguf, eino amur lifol ke'ever me'evrei haguf, it's not replacing any organ in the body, v'chol to'al to'al lafrish zerem chashmali, k'dei l'ores alev lifol, poshut sheli olam eino nechshav ki echad me'evrei haguf. He says, mimonefshah, if it would replace one of the Avriya goof, that's only on a temporary basis, it becomes part of the goof, part of the recipient. But since it's mechanical, it cannot be a permanent part of the goof, no matter what. Even if it replaces one of the Avriya. So that when it ceases to function, for sure you're allowed to take it out of the dead body. Then he says even further, in this case where it doesn't function as a replacement for any of the Avriya goof, then for sure it never even on a temporary basis became part of the body. It's simply a foreign element, a foreign body that helps the goof. So now Rabosai, when we go on to talk about adding mechanical instruments into the ear of a person who doesn't hear, we can say the following. On the one hand, it's not an avertivi. But on the other hand, it is functioning as a replacement for the ear. So now, we ask the following question. We introduce into the ear a machshir, which allows the recipient to hear certain noises, certain sounds. Now, do we change the status of this person? He is no longer a cheresh. He rather becomes a pikeach. He's obligated in the midst of shofar, for example, or to hear the Megillah, etc., etc. And now, since he's able to hear as a result of this transplanted aver that's now replacing whatever avarim would normally function to hear, he's no longer, and he now could fulfill the mitzvah. So unfortunately, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he actually gives a kracht, he's very sad about his final conclusion, he says, Lo yotzi yedechov shofar. He cannot fulfill his mitzvah of shofar. Why? Because his hearing, his ability to hear the shofar, is coming through an instrument that bounces the sound waves into his ear and sends waves, neurological messages to the brain. He doesn't hear the shofar directly from the shofar because he's deaf. Ha'ozen shomas rak et tnudos hakli. It's only that this kli, this added mechanical hearing device, hearing aid, is shaking, and it's making noises that he can hear, but it's not a direct hearing of the shofar. And therefore he concludes that he would not fulfill his mitzvah of shofar, he would not fulfill his mitzvah of Megillah, he would not be allowed to make a bracha on listening through these hearing aids. And he writes, mitztair ani, I am in anguish that these people never who cannot hear, and now they can hear with the help of an aid, some like so-called machshir or microphone that you put into his ear, they are not fulfilling the mitzvah. And the one who disagrees with Rav Shlomo Zalman in this case is Rav Avadya Yosef, the Abiya Omer. He's the one who always quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman to support him, but here he disagrees with him. Cheresh sheyachol lishmoa al yedei kli kimin chatzotzros biozno Ha'im u'chayev b'mitzvah shmias kol shofar? Can he blow the shofar on behalf of others and be motzi them? Nireh poshut, this is on page 7, shechayev b'mitzvah shofar. Why? Because who is a cheresh? A cheresh is someone who cannot hear. If he has a shmia al yidei dover acher, lemaisa, his brain is able to, what word am I looking for, to integrate, what's the word?
Perceive.
His brain is able to perceive those sounds. He now has an appreciation of those sounds. He's receiving those sounds. He's not a cheresh. He has shmia. And he says, which is, I think this is wild, that it's similar to a person who sees with glasses, with eyeglasses. Just like the eyeglasses help him see, so too the hearing aid helps him hear. Now, again, who am I, you know, to question the, but I don't understand. I mean, in case of Mishkafayim, you know, a person is capable of seeing, things are blurry, we need to sharpen his vision, and that we do through the aid of glasses, but that's not the case of a cheresh. A cheresh right now is not capable of hearing at all. Now, if on the other hand, he does have the capacity to hear, but he cannot integrate the sounds, they're not sharp enough, maybe that would be similar to Mishkafayim. Nobody would say that a person who has to see with Mishkafayim is considered halachically blind. And here Rav Avad Yosef gives an example of Shinayim Totavot, meaning they implant teeth, false teeth, into his mouth. And now he speaks with these teeth. Are you going to tell me that's not called Dibur? He's a mute because he needs these shinayim to... He says, no, those shinayim become part of his body and they are functioning as normal teeth. And now the sounds that he emits through these teeth is considered dibur. So too in the case of any sort of instrument, electrical or whatever, however it works, which is transplanted into the ears, he's capable of hearing. That's considered shmir. V'dino kipikeach l'chol dover. Now, where does Rav Moshe Feinstein, and that, with that we'll conclude, and I'll give my voice a little rest here, because I have to give a shir in another couple of hours. Where does Rav Moshe Feinstein fit into this whole picture? We quoted Rav Moshe as saying that if you add an instrument into the body, then if it's a foreign body, it's not part of the body, you can remove it from the dead. And the reason for that is because it's guf zar, it's a foreign body. Rav Moshe, in the case of hearing aids, paskins like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach against Rav Avadi Yosef. And that you'll see on page 6. And I'm not sure if Rav Moshe ever actually wrote a tshuva about this. He's quoted by Rav Asher Zelig, by the Minchas Asher, Rav Weiss. And apparently, Rav Moshe wrote a letter to the Minchas Asher, and he says that he wants to clarify his position on Evarim Mushtolim, on transplants. Ha'im em chelek migufo shel ha'adam. And he says that someone who has difficulty hearing and the machshir helps him hear, that's enough to make it into one of his evarim. However, Again, this is a point that's not 100% clear. You'll have to look on page 6 and see how you read the Minchas Asher. It sounds like Rav Moshe would not go far as changing the psak and the status of a cheresh in a case where he can't hear at all. The Minchas Asher, on the other hand, seems to accept and embrace the opinion of Rav Avad Yosef. Kol sheshomea, I don't care how he hears, u'mitkasher in b'nei Adam, he's able to communicate, is befal hu shomea, in actuality he's hearing, he's got the intelligence, the communication skills, v'hareyu pikeach l'chol davar, he has the status of a pikeach. Okay, there, Rabosai. We'll stop here. I'll take questions. Say it again.
How did you connect it? How are we connected this to Toldos?
Ah, what does it have to do with Toldos?
Because of abundance.
One of the rayas is from Yitzchak. Let's just see. Yitzchak. One second. Yitzchak. David, you have it?
What?
It has something to do with Yitzchak. I'm trying to remember how he connects it.
David says with regards to the blindness?
Yeah, but I'm not sure how it connects. Alright, you know what? Joe, I owe you an answer to that question.
What's that?
I owe you an answer to that question.
Alright.
I know it has to do with Yitzchak, but I forget exactly. Alright, Rabosai, thanks for bearing with me. I'm sorry about my voice.
You see, a while ago, there's somebody said something. You can't take a wig off of a dead woman.
Oh, one second, David. Are you talking to me? Just one second. I'm sorry, David, were you talking to me? Because only after I shut it off, I realized.
You mentioned something about taking a wig off of a dead lady.
Right.
A while ago?
Right, that Rav Avad Yosef says that if the hair... Are you still there? David? Oh no. David? David, Rav Avad Yosef says that if the hair is Mahuda, you don't hear me?
No, unfortunately not. Alright, another time.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. I just wanted to say, David, one sentence. That Rav Avadya Yosef says that if the hair is mehudak chazak, in other words, that you really attach it to the scalp, then it's part of the body, and you would not be able to remove.
But that wig was Oscar, because it's an upper base. That come with Shir while ago? I can't remember. Where I heard it.
You're talking about what issue? You're talking about Avodah Zarah?
No. Hanah from a mace.
Right, you're not allowed to have Hanah from a mace.
Right, somebody said, I didn't hear Shir, I don't remember. Somebody said that a wig from a lady who dies is Oscar also because it's.
Oh, that's Rav Avadya Yosef because he says it's mehudak chazak. It's attached to her body. Once attached to her body, it's part of her body.
So that means dafka transplants only, or like a wig which you pull off?
I don't know. A wig, I think he means a wig that, I don't know, is there a way of attaching a wig to the body? I don't know exactly. He says it's mehudak u mechuzak. I don't know.
Okay, fine. There.
All right.
Go ahead, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.